There's the school bell, and I welcome you back to the Warren County Radio Bible School. And when you hear that bell, go get your Bibles. And we're going to be looking today at a Sunday school lesson that was written for March 18th, 1923, on Jesus Crucified. And the text we're going to be studying in detail is found in Luke chapter 23. So you may want to get your Bible and turn to Luke chapter 23. We're not going to go immediately into that text, but we will soon be there as we proceed through this lesson. Now, as you're getting your Bible, I'll remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school, and we are looking at a Sunday school lesson that was written by a preacher of the past that was well known in his time, E.A. Elam. I have this lesson in a little book that was printed by Williams Printing Company in Nashville, Tennessee. It was actually printed in 1922 for the Sunday schools of 1923. It is called Elam's Notes on Bible School Lessons. And so let's proceed with this lesson about Jesus being crucified. And this Sunday school lesson begins by telling us something of the trials that Jesus went through after he was arrested. Did you know that he went through 6 different trials? In the first 3, he was found guilty, and in the last 3, he was acquitted. Let me read to you about that. Studying carefully all the accounts of the arrest and trial of Jesus, we see that he went through a 3-fold trial before the Jews, and also a 3-fold trial before Romans. Bound, he was led from Gethsemane back to Jerusalem to Ananias first, before whom he was carried through a preliminary trial in John 18, beginning in verse 12. And after this, there was an informal examination by Annas. He was sent to Caiaphas in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 57, before whom and a number of the Sanhedrin, he was again examined, which is the 2nd trial. And then he was tried before the Sanhedrin proper in Luke chapter 22, 66 through 71, early in the morning, according to Matthew 27, 1 and Matthew 15 in verse 1, but in daylight, because they could not condemn a man to death in the night. There was a 3-fold trial before Pilate. First, when Pilate asked him who he was, and the 2nd, before Herod, to whom Pilate sent Jesus, and the 3rd, he was sent back to Pilate. At the conclusion of every trial of Jesus before the Jews, he was found guilty. But at the conclusion of every trial of Jesus before Pilate, he was formally acquitted. And yet, they led him away to crucify him. Let's talk about the death on the cross. This is not a pleasant subject. The cross was not a gilded and ornamental structure, but one of rude materials, hastily and roughly put together. Death on the cross was the most cruel, most awful, most shameful, most disgraceful punishment and death which barbarian brutality could invent. It was common among the Persians, the Carthaginians, the Greeks, and the Romans. It is said that the Romans probably copied this heinous form of punishment from the Phoenicians. Romans did not crucify their own citizens, but inflicted it upon slaves in the conquered. The Egyptians simply bound the victims to the cross, leaving them there to die of exhaustion and starvation. But Jesus was nailed to the cross. The victim was laid on his back on the cross. his arms and legs stretched out, and long nails were driven through his hands and his feet. Then the cross was raised up and set in place, or it was first erected, and then the victim was nailed to it. His body was not altogether supported by his arms, for a peg passed through the cross between his legs, which supported part of his body. It had been said that burning was preferable to the cross. Far graphically describes this suffering and torture. For indeed, a death by crucifixion seems to include all that pain and death can have of the horrible and ghastly: dizziness, cramp, thirst, starvation, sleeplessness, traumatic fever, tinnitus, publicity of shame, long continuance of torment, horror of anticipation, mortification of untended wounds, all intensified just up to the point at which they could be endured at all, but all stopping just short of the point which would give the sufferer the relief of unconsciousness. The unnatural position made every movement painful. The lacerated veins and crushed tendons throbbed with incessant anguish. The wounds, inflamed by exposure, gradually gangrened, and arteries, especially of the head, became swollen and oppressed with surcharged blood. And every variety of misery went on, gradually increasing, until death relieved the sufferer. Over 1,500 years ago, the Emperor Constantine abolished the cross as a mode of punishment. Several incidences occurred in the crucifixion of Jesus before our present lesson begins. We sometimes sing in a song, "Must Jesus bear the cross alone?" In Jesus' humiliation, his judgment, that is, Pilate's decision of not guilty, was taken away, and the sentence of death was extorted from Pilate. We read about that in the prophecy, Isaiah 53 in verse 8. "By oppression and judgment he was taken away. As for his generation, who among them considered that he was cut out of the land of the living for the transgression of my people, to whom the stroke was due? He was delivered to the Jews and the soldiers to be executed." He bore his own cross at the beginning. John 19:17 says, "They took Jesus therefore, and he went out bearing the cross for himself unto the place called the place of the skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha. But he could not bear it long, being exhausted, no doubt, by the trials of the sleepless night and the pain of the scourging. Then they compelled one passing by, Simon of Cyrene, a town in North Africa, coming from the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to go with them, that he might bear his cross." Mark 15:21. Luke 23:26 says, "To bear it after Jesus. He either bore one end while Jesus carried the other, or bearing it all, he followed Jesus." And we read that there followed him a great multitude of people, and of women who bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming in which they shall say, Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bare, and the breasts that never gave suck. Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, Fall on us, and to the hills, Cover us." They did this at the destruction of Jerusalem. "For if they do these things in the green tree, what shall be done in the dry?" There were two malefactors between whom he was crucified, and they were led with him to be put to death, according to Luke chapter 23 and verse 32. Now in Luke 23 33 we read, "And when they came into the place which is called the Skull, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left." The place of execution was called in Hebrew Golgotha, the place of the skull. Check that in Matthew 27:33 and John 19:17. Our word Calvary means a skull, and the version which we use in preparing these lessons so put it. Why was it called the skull, we do not know. Some suppose it was called because it was a common place of execution, or a place for throwing bones. Others that it was a knoll resembling a skull. We have no evidence that it was actually a mount. No one knows either just where it was, but it was near the city, John 19:20, outside the gate, for Jesus suffered without the gate, Hebrews 13:12-13. It contained a garden, John 19:41, and it seemed it was on a public road, Matthew 27:39, Luke 23:26. Well, Jesus was numbered with the transgressors to heap shame and disgrace upon Jesus. He was crucified between two malefactors, robbers, or thieves. And this was in fulfillment of the prophecy of Isaiah 53:12. And he was numbered with the transgressors. As for the time of the crucifixion, here's how we figure that. It was just before nailing Jesus to the cross that they offered him wine mingled with myrrh, Mark 15:23. Matthew 23:34 says that they gave him wine to drink mingled with gall. But when he tasted it, he would not drink. This was a stupefying drink offered in kindness to deaden pain. But Jesus preferred to die conscious of all pain and suffering. He voluntarily drank the cup of suffering. And it was about the third hour. It'd be 9 o'clock a.m. And they crucified him, it says in Mark 15:25. John 19:14 says it was about the sixth hour when Pilate delivered Jesus to the Jews to be crucified, which according to the usual method of counting time was 12 o'clock. The intention was not to state the exact minute or hour when every act in this awful tragedy was performed, but that division of the day in which the acts occurred. The crucifixion, with its preliminaries, lasted from 9 o'clock a.m. until 3 o'clock p.m. On that cross, Jesus said, "Father, forgive them," in Luke 23:34. And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And parting his garments among them, they cast lots. It was soon after Jesus was nailed on the cross, he looked down in sublime self-forgetfulness and divine compassion upon his ignorant executors and prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." This was Jesus' first utterance on the cross. Neither did the Jews know that they had rejected their Messiah. And we read this, "And parting his garments among them, they cast lots. They made four parts to every soldier a part, and also the coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. They said therefore one to another, 'Let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots.'" We read about that in John 19:23-24. And the prophecy that that's referring to is Psalm 22:18. The victim crucified was stripped of his clothes. But we're going to take that up in the next class and begin there when we continue this study.